that we do in Ottawa? Raise your hand. Just kidding. Are you guys coming in? Come on in. Right on time. Right on time. Can you guys hear me? Do I really need the microphone?
Yes.
Do I? Because of you. Oh, this is on YouTube? Hey, YouTube. What's up? Like my page. Don't forget to subscribe. Okay, guys. How are you?
Good.
You guys have a good week?
No.
No? Why not?
You had a midterm?
Oh my God, look who it is. How are you guys? Okay, so today you guys know we're gonna talk about productivity and spiritual benefits. So this is my first time speaking to all you guys. I want you guys to interrupt as you need. If something you wanna do, like dwell in a little bit longer than kind of what we have on the slide or whatever, like feel free. This is just, I'm leading a talk, but this is kind of very, very interactive. At least it's meant to be that way, okay? So, the first thing, okay, so all the things came up at the same time. I thought I was gonna be cool and be able to do like the, ask the question and then like have the thing come up, but that's okay. So, how many of you guys consider yourselves productive in your daily lives? Raise your hand. Wow. Yes, but sometimes no. Okay. Come si, come sa. So can I ask if for those of you who are saying, obviously everyone's saying they're not productive, why do you think you're not productive? Laziness. Andrew? Okay. So it's almost like your eyes are bigger than your stomach when it comes to planning things. Okay. Absolutely guilty in the same way. Anyone else? Okay, Samir? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. Danielle? Yeah. Oh my God. Mary McHale, looking at you, girl. She told me in the car. We both talked about how we work. Sarah? Absolutely. Yeah, and kind of a lot of the time we're tasked with being our own worst enemy sometimes, because we say, well, I know that I have X amount of time to complete this, so I'm going to hold off and check my messages and do this or whatever. And a lot of the time we really kind of shoot ourselves in the foot. So the million-dollar question is, and this is something that I wanted to touch on, because I know a lot of you are still in school, but as you guys graduate and get into whatever careers you're going to get into, it doesn't matter what field you're in, if it's biotechnical, whatever, if it's human kinetics, if it's law, business, accounting, finance, whatever, when you get to your careers and you're in your jobs, one of the biggest things you're going to hear, whether you work for a corporation or the government or you're on your own, is how do we increase productivity? That's a million-dollar question that businesses everywhere are trying to answer, and it also kind of scales down to like us on a personal level. So increasing productivity is one of the most important things, because all we have in this world is time. Time is the only thing that we have, and everyone has a different amount of time, and it's very finite. Andrew has a certain amount of time on this earth. I have a certain amount of time on this earth. Everyone in this room has a different amount of time on this earth, and that's one of God's mysteries, is that we don't know what that looks like, and we don't know, and we can't expect what that's gonna be. So just going back to how do I do all the things that I want to do when there isn't enough time? A lot of the time we use time as an excuse. You know, I don't have enough time to do this. I'm swamped. I have this and this and this, and I have to exercise, and I have all these papers, and I have work, and I have my family, and I have my partner, and I have my friends, and I have all this kind of stuff that's happening in our lives. And a lot of the times we come up with these kinds of excuses. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I'm overwhelmed. And a lot of it comes down to our poor or good sometimes time management. All right? So first, I just wanted to like define productivity in the terms of like the how the world defines productivity and how Christians define productivity. So as you can see, productivity, like from a pure economic standpoint, is the average measure of the efficiency of a production. It is a measure of total efficiency of a production process, and as such, the objective to be maximized in a production process. So it's a roundabout way of saying the time in which it takes me to do something and my measure of how I deliver against that. But then when you take a look at the Christian perspective and a deeper dive into more like an inner look at how that is, Christian productivity is using our lives in this world to most powerfully impact eternity. That sounds like it's pretty vague, but it also is kind of beautiful because each and every one of us has the time that we have in this world to make a difference and make our mark. So it's about doing things that bring God the glory and having to remember that we have to bring it back to God in terms of how we maximize our time because he's the one that put us on this earth to begin with. Oh, hello. Just a little bit late. Okay, so there's four things that I wanted to... Actually, never mind. Sorry. So, no, it's okay because I thought that this was reflective of this, but it's not. So we're good. So there's four things I want to talk about today. So the first one is why we need to be productive and the things that hinder us, outcomes of productivity or lack thereof in modern times and examples from the Bible, ways we can increase our productivity and God's intent for our lives and benefiting the benefits of preparing for the kingdom of heaven. So let's start with why we need to be productive and some of the reasons why we are not productive. This is a large part of why I'm not productive. I look at memes on the internet all day long and it hurts my work productivity, my friendships, my personal life, and I'm seeking help, okay? And I'm sure a lot of you like me can probably relate to that. It's a time waster. And so there's a lot of things in life like this that are time wasters. And a lot of things that are time wasters are also things that help us in our daily lives. Social media is fantastic. We can check out our St. Mary's Youth Group on Facebook all day long. Refresh that thing just to see, you know, are they posting anything new? What's going on? Or, you know, we could be watching videos of whatever. But social media is a great platform for us, as well as all the other things that we use as outlets for wasting time. A lot of it could be, you know, spending too much time with our friends or too much time, you know, on a certain subject in school or whatever the case may be. So for me, I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, to me, being productive is being able to balance all the dishes in my life. And it means being able to balance my friendships, my relationships, my personal life, my work life, all those kinds of things, all while, you know, giving all the glory to God and having a good relationship with Jesus. So this just goes back to some of the reasons as to why we need to be productive. So obviously I said that before, God blessed us with the life we have now so we can use it to do good in the world. Like the servant who buried his talent. Sometimes we don't appreciate the life God has given us and we waste our time or don't do enough with our time out of fear, laziness, or poor time management. So I wanted to kind of go to the next slide, and it's a little bit daunting, but we're not going to read all that. Can someone read just the part that's bolded, the first one? Mariam? Thank you. Can we have Beher, can you read the second bolded one, 24? Thank you. So how many of us have felt this way in our lives? In any kind, can someone give me a situation where you've kind of felt like that, where you've been too scared to do something, or you felt that, you know, it's better to hold off from doing this because, you know what, I'm just going to screw it up and I don't trust myself. So, you know, I'm going to put it off and until maybe I know more or something. Anyone have any examples of that? Sam, was that a hand? You've had that before? Anyone else have any examples of that? No, I just know, oh, Andrew? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a huge one. 100%. Sarah?
Yeah, I'm going to get my diet right before I start going to gyms. At least have that platform. So.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. 100%. Yeah, I mean, I've seen that. I've been there. I'm sure a lot of us have been there with whether it's work or, you know, personal relationships, whatever the case may be. It's that feeling of, you know, I don't really feel up to it, so I'm going to put it off, or for whatever reason. There could be that feeling of, you know, I'm not really good enough right now to do that. Or there could be the aspect of, I'm just too scared. I'm way too scared to do this, so I'm just gonna put it off. I'm gonna stick my head in the ground until this problem goes away and until it goes away on its own. So everyone kind of deals with problems on their own in their own specific ways. But just know that when you actually make an attempt to fix something, or you see an issue in your life, or you see a problem in your life, when you actually approach it and address it head on, your odds of, you know, figuring out how to come out on top are like instantly way better than if you were to just sit there and not know what you're going to do. Ankin? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and a lot of the time, you're so right. That absolutely makes sense. If we don't feel good enough, or that we're not interested enough in doing something, we'll kind of flip it around and say, well, you know, you're asking too much of me, or, you know, I can't, your expectations are way too high. How do you expect me to do 5 courses and work and this and that, and I'm just losing my mind? And we fall down this kind of rabbit hole of self-pity almost. And I'm not saying that, like, you guys, like, I do that present day, did it a couple minutes ago. Like, this is, I do this all the time. So how do we kind of get ourselves, before we move on, actually, can we just read the last part, the last bolded part? Danielle, do you want to read for us? So I know we've all, like, heard this parable a lot of different times at a lot of different places. So we understand what the parable is about. But the real message in this context is, I need to do the best I can with the time that I have now, or it's not going to be so good for me when I have to answer to God at the gates of heaven. You know, God, like I said, gives us a finite amount of time, a finite amount of resources. He gives us all the tools that we need, or all the tools that he thinks we need to kind of, you know, do our best and get to a place where, you know, we've gotten more than one talent. We've kind of, he gives us a paintbrush and it's up to us to kind of create what we're going to create. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So kind of just shifting gears, these are a few ways that these are some of the things that we can do to increase our productivity. And a lot of them are kind of cookie cutter, like take a break, like don't load yourself with too many things at once. Or, you know, set a timer for each of your tasks and you can kind of pace yourself as to how much you take on and you're not like drowning yourself in things that you have to do. The distraction piece is huge, especially for myself, just because I allow for distractions. Whether it's someone talking to me or a voice inside my own head saying that I can't do this, I'm not good enough, I'm not whatever, God does not want us to listen to these distractions. These distractions are clearly like, you know, things from the devil that tell us, you know, second guess yourself or this isn't something that you are able to do or whatever the case may be. The last thing that I wanted to kind of touch on to increase your productivity, whether it's your work or your school or whatever, is you have to love what you're doing. So from a Christian standpoint, I have to love to come to church. I have to love to take communion. I have to love to serve, and I have to love all of these things that I'm doing, because at the end of the day, I have to know what the goal is, and the goal is the kingdom of heaven. So all of these things that were kind of, I don't want to use the word nagged, but sometimes we are nagged to do certain things. But as soon as we have that self-interest in ourselves, that I need to take communion because, you know what, I get to a really dark place and I lose my way. I need to take communion so that I have Christ inside me all the time. I need that. So I need to make sure that I have that. Or if I need to, you know, get more involved in church because it's going to be something that will keep my mind off of things I shouldn't have my mind on. I'm just speaking from like a personal standpoint. That's how I feel about like doing the things that I love that are going to keep me close to God, because when I'm close to God, I know that I'm happy. And of course, prayer and meditation. A lot of people, I remember growing up, and I'm sure Danielle can attest to this, in Sunday school, they were always telling us, you know, pray, you have to pray, fast and pray, fast and pray, fast and pray. Sometimes they say pray. And when we were kids, like, it didn't make sense to us. We were just like, yeah, like, give us our Sunday school tokens and let us go downstairs and get candy. But as I got older, and I'm sure as you guys might be, like, discovering for yourselves, prayer is one of the most important things in your life because it's your connection to God. And without God talking to him, getting his ideas and opinions on things, I know I'm talking about him like he's like a tangible person, but you really underestimate the wonderful aspect of having that close personal relationship with God. And he will reveal himself to you in ways that you can't even begin to understand. So really trying to have that relationship with Christ, even though if you're going through a hard time or you're going through a great time and you don't think that, you know, you're attributing any of your success or good times or anything to God. It's really important to keep God as part of your daily life. And I'm just speaking from pure experience. Why won't you change? Oh, oops. Did I go too far? Yes, I did. So, does anyone have any questions thus far? No? I'm just answering all the questions, just zooming on. Oh, wow. Okay. So, preparing for the kingdom of heaven, obviously these things are up there. Devote yourself to using your time and your energy in the best way possible, pursuing God's purpose for your life. This part really spoke to me because it kind of made me take a step back and I said, well, you know, what is God's purpose for my life? And a lot of people think that's a really daunting question, like, oh my God, I don't know what God's purpose for my life is. Like, what am I going to do? I'm 27. I don't know what, like, it's okay. God's purpose for your life, I'll tell you right now, is to live a good life and live a life that's going to make you a light in the world and make other people want to what's that word I'm looking for? When they don't want to be like you, but they just want to, they're like attracted to you in that, in like a Christian sense. Like, you know what I mean? Like they want to be, what? They want to emulate you. Thanks for showing up today, Sammy. Needed you there. But yeah, people just want to emulate what they see. And so you, like me standing here and saying, oh yeah, Christianity, this and that, like I have to live it in my daily life and I have to have the light of Christ shine through me. And it's not just going to come out of my pores. It's going to come out of me in my actions and how I carry myself and, you know, how I can help other people. These points are actually really important. I came across these in an article that I was researching for this, and it was very interesting. So one of them said, manage your time well, keeping in mind that your time is the most valuable resource. I put in there, avoid time wasters, so. But managing your time well and keeping in mind that that time is your most valuable resource, I can't stress that enough. Time is the only thing that we have in life right now. It's the only thing that we're given when we're born, and it says, here's your clock, here's your body, the vessel that you're going to live in for the next 50, 70, 100 years, go. So, and we also get the Bible, and those are kind of the three things that we have to use to our paintbrush, if you will, and we kind of create what we're going to create based on those things. Hopefully you can paint well. So don't settle for the chaos and confusion that is a disorganized life. God created organization as part of the fabric of creation, and so should we in our lives. I thought that was pretty interesting too, because I consider myself someone very like last minute, laid back. Like, I don't organize myself very well at all. Sarah can probably attest to that. but having said that, God did create organization. He created the trees to look the way they do, the earth, the ecosystem, and everything to kind of jive together the way it jives. And it is a very organized system, because if you go to any other planet in the universe, there's no way that certain combination of elements could sustain human life. So it's not by accident. God put us here for a reason. He gave us all the tools that we need. Talk to God. We talked about that. Very important. Guard yourself against physical exhaustion and rest your mind, body, and spirit. That's actually very important as well. People underestimate. They think they can take like an Adderall, or they can take like whatever caffeine pills, or drink like 50 coffees and say, I'm going to, you know, write this paper in 2 hours or whatever. But it just, let yourself take things the normal way and try to give yourself time. Try to allow yourself to be prepared and try to, you know, account for things that might happen. And the last thing that I wanted to just say was to experience biblical joy, because that's the basis of God's unconditional love. And in the article, they said it's real. Well, they said it's a reliable love. And I was thinking about that, and I just meditated on it for a second. And I can talk to you guys personally about the relationships I have in my life with my parents, with my partner, with my sister, with my friends, with everyone. But the only truly reliable relationship there is the relationship between us and God. Our parents will always love us for sure, whatever, like our friends and everything, but the only person, you too, I love you, but the only person that's ever gonna love us, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, regardless, that true unconditional love is the love that God has for us, because He created us, He knows us inside and out, and He gave us life. So the last slide that I had was a link to the article. Oh, and this one was just like a chart that I made, because I thought I need another slide. I'm just being honest. I didn't think it looked like meaty enough, so I was like, throw a slide on there. But yeah, so that's all I had for you guys today. I believe in what I'm saying today. Like, I really believe that our time is finite, and it's something that through preparing this topic today, I realized, you know, am I doing enough in my daily life to glorify God? And I'm someone who, like, I like to live my life. I like to go out. I like to do whatever I want. But at the same time, it's really about having Christ bless my life, and how does Christ bless me? Is I have to bless Him, and I have to live a good life that my Father in heaven would be proud of. Make sense? All right.
That's it.
That's all I have, guys. Thanks. You guys have any questions? Sarah? Yeah, you are.
No,
I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. Does anyone want to answer that? Jessica? That's a great point, and that's one of the things that we said, you have to enjoy it. So, Danielle. Like the act as if principle, you know? Absolutely. I agree. I agree. Anyone else? Mark? Can I give you guys like a personal example? So when we had our youth group when we were your age, and we had St. John's over there, and we had like the big group of people that would come, and it was so much fun every Friday night, and everyone was there, and we'd like party like it was 1999, and it was so much fun. And a lot of our friends kind of moved away, and they moved on with their lives, and they got married, and they had kids, and so, or a lot of them just moved away. I'm making them sound a lot older than they are. They're not. But that was kind of an excuse for me at that point. And I said, you know what? Like, no one my age and my friends aren't going, so why would I go to church? And it's almost as if the focus that I had of going to church was more for the socialization aspect, which is normal and fine. I mean, we all come here because we all are of the same mindset, same culture. Like, it makes sense. But you can't let that be the leading factor as to why you're involved in the church. You know what I mean? It has to come from within. And if it's not from within, you have to figure out how to make it come from within. And the ways to do that is through prayer, meditation, communion, coming to church, talking to Abuna, talking to people that might be able to help you. Is that fair? Anyone else? Uncle Samir.
Yeah.
The biblical joy?
So that's the question actually that I'm asking you. How do you experience the biblical joy?
Does everyone understand a consumer's question? That's the customer's question. That's a good question. I mean, how do we experience God's biblical joy? First of all, do we understand the difference between regular joy and biblical joy?
Is it like the joy of reading the Bible, or is it the joy of getting applying the Bible to the Bible?
Customer, do you want to talk about what biblical joy is? Yeah, that's a great answer, absolutely. Does everyone agree? If you don't, you're not invited. No, I'm kidding. Anything else, guys? No? Let's go get some yummy pizza. Oh, Behe.